everyone. You love the music, now be a part of the movement. Press Play is building a home for artists and fans just like you, and now you can help shape it. All you gotta do is go to pressplay.me and grab you some merch and wear it really loud and really proud, and of course, buy it for everybody you know. And know that you're helping musicians and music stay real, independent, and alive. And here's something really special. You can send a personal message to the artist of your choice. If we've done an interview with them, you have an opportunity to write them a note. You can write them a small message, or you can write them a whole letter, and it will go directly to them. Just click the link on any of our interviews, write from the heart, and let your voice be heard. So tune in, rock with us, and press play. Get the gear, send the love. Music lives when the fans do.
Hey everybody, you're back at Press Play Radio Conversations, and it's me, the Don, and Tina.
Peace.
See. And as always, I'm excited. We have a long history, and that is Allie Colleen. How are you, Allie?
I'm so good. How are you guys?
I'm so great.
Fantastic. Thanks for asking.
Well, yes, it's my first time meeting Tina, but Don, it's good to see you again. It has been a little too long, but it's good to see you again.
I know. Well, you know, and as you pump out the hits, we will have you back every time. And
hell yeah.
You know what would be great? Why don't I just start with one of the songs, because I've been listening to it over and over again, and I want to play it because we always talk about songs bring back memories and music brings back memories, but also scents do, and food, and but like a certain smell will do it. And this song just captivates all of it, from music to the senses. It hits all the senses. So I want to play a little bit of it now. This is Mahogany Teak Wood. And let's just play a little bit of the song here for everybody, and then we'll talk about it.
I keep your soap in my shower, and I say it's for the men in my bed. And I fall asleep to you holding me while I lay in the dark on their chest. And when autumn comes and goes, all that I'm left with is you and your absence. Mahogany teak wood, hold me tonight, but don't say a word in the dark, 'cause it won't sound right. Let your memory fill this room, put your hands on my body the way he used to, and time will pass and I'll run out. But I'd buy 100,000 bottles just to keep you around. Mahogany teak wood.
And that, isn't that such a beautiful song with your voice, Allie? Oh my God, that song just hits.
Man, it's such a sing one. It was never one that was really supposed to be a thing anyway. You know, it was one of those bedroom rights that really wasn't going to leave where it was. But I think I shared it on a TikTok live one night or something. And it was just something that always came up in conversation at every show amongst somebody who had seen it, kind of thing. So I thought, well, we might as well. So we just labeled it acoustic because we might go back one day and give this song like a full production. But for right now, I think it just kind of lives here in this little world, kind of where it was created, kind of thing.
Right. And what I love about it, though, too, is, you know, when we talk about songs or scents, and I love you'd light all these candles up, mm-hmm. you know, just to have that person's presence.
Right.
And that just resonates. And are there certain scents or songs to you that bring you back to, like, let's just talk music, for example. What's a certain song that'll bring you back to a certain place every single time? And it takes
when
you
I first
right
moved
there.
To Nashville, would have been in 2014 to go to college. And I can't remember if it was that year or not that it came out, but that first really commercially, I'm not going to say it was his first album, but it was his first commercial album that was a Sam Hunt. It's got the car on the front. And I think the album title is a car. Anyway, that was what I first was listening to when I first moved to Nashville. And so now every single time it comes on, I think about the first places that I just drove in my car over and over and over in Nashville. That whole first year in Nashville feels like that first Sam Hunt album for me.
Mm. Oh, that's incredible.
It's a good one. So, yeah. Ellie, I'm curious to know where the song came from. What was your inspiration there?
The song came from exactly what it says. I wish it came from something cooler. I haven't had a lot of relationships in my adult life. I got divorced in 2021 and I haven't really had a relationship, in a romantic way kind of thing since. But if I had one, I just had the misfortune of falling in love with someone who smelled like Bath and Body Works and then, tried to move on and had someone at my house. I have horses. We had done stuff all day. They wanted a shower here. I said, sure. And they got out of the shower and they said, hey, you know, I'm not going to ask. You had some men's product in there. I used them, whatever. I said, cool, whatever. And then he smelled like him. And then I asked him if he wanted to have dinner. And I asked him if he wanted to hang out just a little while longer. Anything to literally be around somebody who smelled like that person. You know what I mean? And so then I just wrote it as honestly as I could from there kind of thing. But that's been a thing for me my whole life. Of all of my senses, I can't see to save my life. And I actually can't hear very well as a musician, but I lock everybody in what they smell like kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. He's smelling Bath and Body Works. That's incredible. I get, you know, I always grab that basket when I'm in that store. Like, I can't help it. Yeah, I go right to the men's section. I'm loading in all the things. Yeah, I say like, I gotta smell like bourbon whiskey. I mean, come on, it's like
they don't anymore. But Bath and Body Works used to have like the try it out sink in Bath and Body Works. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, where you could try all of the scrubs and all, like you could try more than just like the smeller lotions and testers. When I was a kid, mm-hmm. I thought that sink was like a science lab, and I was like, my parents were like, you gotta stop. I said, I tried everything in that store today.
I was so exfoliated.
Hey, my skin was raw. Yeah.
That was a hard one right now. Exfoliated. There you go. Like, look how soft my skin is.
Yeah.
Do you go there, Tina? Yeah. I can just see Allie in the store like, oh, I know. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You smell like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tina, do you go there?
No, I'm not a Bath and Body Works. I'm more of a Naturel girl. I do wear a Louis Vuitton Symphony from time to time, which is my favorite. But
I know what that's not.
I'm more of a El Naturel. I can throw on some patchouli or some, you know, scented oils from time to time, but that's about it.
Speak in the Grateful Dead later. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's such a great song, and it just showcases again your gorgeous voice. Mm-hmm. You're one person that just with a set of strings. I remember that one time you filmed yourself in Ireland singing in a cave, and I went, "Your voice is so incredible and unique." So whenever you can just lay it, I know you said about a full production, which always sounds great, but when the acoustic, have you been to rooms? When I talked to John Barry once, and I said, when he does Your Love Amazes Me, I bet you every time you perform, you can't hear a pin drop in that place. And to me, that's the equivalent to 80,000 people screaming, is if you're playing a song like that and everyone's quiet. Do you experience that when you're playing sometimes, or everyone just
Yeah, it's a sweet spot. It's a sweet spot that you hope for. And you don't care if you're playing for 4 people or 20 people or 1,000 people. Or 20,000 people, if you can get them all to shut up collectively, it is the coolest feeling on the planet. And even just a couple people, you know, like just to get a couple people. And it's, I don't know, it's such a blessing. And you wonder where people go. You know what I mean? Because you know they don't sit there and watch you. You know the room isn't silent because they're all present and they're sitting there and they're watching you. They go somewhere because you took them somewhere. And I just wonder where they go. It's the coolest privilege on the planet. to silence a room because it really doesn't have anything to do with you. It's like you're creating some moment for these people that is taking them elsewhere. And that's literally, there's nothing, there's no cooler feeling than that on the planet. If anyone tells you there is, they're lying to you. That John Barry knows exactly what I'm talking about. It is the coolest feeling on the planet.
You know how deep that is when you, that is so deep when you think about it, when you're looking out and everyone's going somewhere in their mind.
Mm-hmm.
In their own, that's an incredible thought when you're looking out as a performer.
They're being very aware. They're made very aware of what they're feeling.
Yeah. And they have a space space to feel it. Sorry, they have a safe space to feel it because it's no one else in that room is talking about how a man smells to them. You know what I mean? Just me.
Right.
I'm the only one in the room who has this. It's not even shameful, but you know what I mean? I'm the only one in the room who's kind of naked, who's like, this is my truth. And you create this safe space for every other human being in that room to go to who they think of when they smell a certain smell. And if they, you know, if their life is perfect and it worked out right, that is their partner, you know, kind of thing. But everyone's got, you know, that little smell. And to give someone 3 minutes to run away to the land of what wasn't supposed to be to smell somebody for a second, it's a privilege.
It's so great, the visual. What's a song that you've experienced the most that you, after you perform and people are talking to you afterward, that you hear a lot about, a song you wrote that people come up and say, oh, this song meant something to me. Oh my God, that song hit me. Have you had?
I get a lot of really cool stories about a song. We don't play it in our set too much anymore. I've put it back in my acoustic set for when we get to really tell stories and we get to share, because it is one of the songs that I have that, you know, I don't know how I could write the meeting a second way kind of thing. But we have this song that's called Make Me a Man on the Stones album. And the hook is Make Me a Man Worthy of My Mama. And it's just a song for kids who grew up like me, who never got to see their mom as when they were a child, you know, find their person and fall in love kind of thing. And so there's this whole song about make me a man worthy of my mama to hold her tight when I'm not around. And I have learned over the years, I will never make eye contact with anybody while I sing that song. They've got snot running down their face. You can't sing while someone else is crying at you with their like making eye contact crying is the craziest thing on the planet. So I don't look at people during Making a Man, but that one's always really special. And it's not as often, but every now and then it's really young kids. Every now and then it's you know, it's a 7 or an 8 or a 9-year-old son or daughter who's like, I can't wait to share that song with my mom. And I'm just like, go ahead, buddy, please. Go ahead.
Have you guys heard that song Father in a Bible? This young kid is singing it. Have you guys heard that one?
Mm-mm.
What's it called? Talking
about how his dad wasn't around. And this is like probably a 12 or 13 year old kid singing this song about his dad not being around. And he said, it's okay. I'll find my father in the Bible. It is amazing. If you haven't heard it, you guys check it out.
That's crazy. I haven't.
Mm-hmm. Write it down, crazy. John.
Father and the Bible, or Father in the Bible?
In the Bible.
Oh,
wow. Yep. It. You can't miss it.
That intrigues me.
But that's when you were telling that story, I was like, oh my gosh, that's what it reminds me of. I can't imagine, you know, like, oh, you poor thing being up there. Oh, I don't know how you're not like streaming tears all the time.
You just don't. You can't look at him anymore. And if someone's sniffing, you just assume they're sicker than a dog. You're always like, man, someone in this room must be sick. They're surely not crying right now.
Well, last time I talked to you was actually, I want to say a year ago, or maybe now. There was a time a year ago you had performed with Jelly Roll, and you said you were looking out at the crowd. I think this was in Canada, and you, in this upper section, and that made you emotional. Like people were like, something affected you up there. And I remember you telling me how that was emotional. They were far away, but you could still.
The upper section, the Jelly Roll tour. Last time we talked about my last show on the Jelly Roll tour was the day that he lets you sing in the rain with him for his last song. Right. He sings in the rain. And these women had shared stories, like Instagram stories. On the very top row, they had to have been, there couldn't have been anyone higher than them. They had to be the top row. And they shared stories of me singing with Jelly in the rain. And in the story, you can hear them saying, like, they're crying, but you could hear them talking about how, like, we saw her back when, like, whatever. And the fact that someone was that jacked out of their mind to have such horrific seats and still be so stoked for me in my moment or whatever. Dude, I'll cry every day. Those women, Those women made my whole year last year. I know exactly who you're talking about. And they've been to maybe a show, maybe two, and just happened to see me on the arena tour. And it's just a wild world, man.
How was that working with Jelly Roll?
Jelly Roll was amazing. We landed the last 20 cities of the Jelly Roll tour. And so we opened every night before Shaboozey in earnest. And then every night I would perform a duet with him during his big set. So every night it was the Jesse Murph duet called Wild Ones. But then on the very last city of the tour, he lets you do the Save Me Lainey Wilson duet, and you get to do it in the rain with him. And it's the it's the coolest thing I've ever done.
That must have been awesome.
With an arena full of people. But see, amazing. That's what I mean is you as an artist, the way you connect with people, and it shows you that how much it comes from your soul that people can affect you just by looking out. And that I think that should tell everybody when they come see Allie perform, she sees you guys. Well, she tries not to. To not break
sometimes.
Down.
Sometimes I try not to.
She happens to look at you and you go, oh.
Dude, your show's only amazing. Ever as good as your audience, you know? Not as big, not as huge, not as whatever, but it's still only as good. You know, I've watched artists that I love, you know, perform for sold out arenas. And some nights it's like, this is a good crowd. And some nights it's like, where's everybody at? You know, kind of thing. And so your show's only as good as your audiences. So like, even like I still play the cover sets on Broadway here in Nashville. I still play 3-hour cover sets, you know, every Tuesday. And even then, the show's only as fun as that one traveling crowd who came here from Michigan, who's just had no plans. They just wanted to see Nashville and they sit with you for 2 hours out of your 3-hour set. You know what I mean? Like they still make the whole, thing. They're so cool.
So you're loving life in Nashville.
Yeah. Did you say love in life or live in life?
Where do you originate from?
I'm from Oklahoma. I've been here for 12 years. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So you're now from Nashville.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I am, I guess. I moved here when I was 17 to go to college. And I've been here since. Yeah. It's been a wild ride.
Left. Mm-hmm. Do you know the name Allison Shiley?
I do not.
No? Mm-mm. Have you ever heard a cover of one of your songs?
One of my songs? Heard her cover of my songs?
Well, let's start with, have you ever heard a cover of your songs on YouTube?
I've been lucky enough to hear, I've had someone play my songs for me before, but I've never like stumbled upon someone doing a cover of me. That would be crazy.
Well, I found one, and I think it's beautiful.
No way.
Her name's Allison Shiley, and I want to play a little bit of it for you because I think it's beautiful. Now you got to see this.
Allison.
Watch this. S H Y L Y, Allison Shiley.
I was close.
So watch this.
If only we could stop this moment. Forget the clock, pretend it's broken. And by the way, you look great tonight. Looking at an avenue.
That's great.
But we both know where this is going. But we don't wanna say goodbye.
She was feeling it.
That's insane.
Isn't it wild when somebody, I've always said that, you know, one of the things as an artist, I think that would be an amazing thing for me. I don't care about 100,000 people like filling a stadium. If I looked out and I saw 10 people singing my lyrics back, I would think, that's amazing. But then when you see somebody actually takes time and covers a song, like, and feels it.
I don't even know how you take my vocal off of the audio. You know what I mean? I don't even know how you do that. That's amazing.
There's software that can do that.
Yeah. To spend all your time learning someone's song and singing your song. Hopefully, and it's, and anything like that, it had to be because it meant something to her, because that song's not a trending cover. You know what I mean? It's not going to do anything for her. Like, she just has to love that song. And that's the coolest thing on the planet. That's so cool.
Yeah. That was a very emotional song for you to write at that time in your life. And obviously she was relating to it. And that was amazing. So good job, Allison.
I always say anyone who needs a kind divorce song while we're still friends is your song. I know everybody else is pissed at him. I know everybody else wants to mess up his truck. I know it. I get it. Do your thing, babes. But if you ever need a kind one, that's a kind divorce song.
That was
song.
It.
Good one. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, you know what I love about that? What you just said is so true, because you said, by the way, you look good tonight. Like, a great compliment for someone that you're not going to, you're going your separate ways. It was just a beautiful send off. It is a beautiful way to end something.
Right. And the whole reason that Lee's on it is because it makes it two amicable people both agreeing that this is where we're at. It's not one person making it pretty and still dumping the other person. Like, it's not you, it's me kind of thing. It's just, it's just two people, you know, amicably letting go of what they thought something was going to be. So that's we tried to make a really kind space for anybody letting go one of a relationship for sure, but specifically forever, you know, because I don't know how everyone else works, but even if you got divorced, I hate to think that you didn't for even a moment think that that was going to be forever, you know? So we thought it was, and it just wasn't. But that's a kind one. All our still friends is a kind one.
And when she, by the way, when she mentions Lee, Lee Bryce is who she did that with. So go check it out. Allie's original. It's amazing. And then kudos to Allison for taking the time to, you know, put that out there for, and because she felt it. Tina, any thoughts, any questions you have?
I would love to ask a song story question, because so far we've talked about
Allie's song story music,
but Allie, I like to get to know the girl behind the music a little bit. And we have a game called Song Story Game. It's like a table game that you play, right? Everybody's got, we have our own. It's called Song Story Game.
You'll get a copy.
Every song has a story. And every story has a song. So I'm just going to draw an odd card here. And we're going to ask you what it is. Are you ready?
Yes.
Oh, boy. What are your top three favorite artists or bands?
Ever?
Ever.
And so the music that I consume is so much different than the music that maybe I make or look up to. But I'm not going to think too much about it. So I love Cody Johnson. I think Cody Johnson is one of the coolest things on the planet, mainly because he's the only one that I know of. I'm not going to say he's the only one. He's the only man in country music that can actually run an event in rodeo, which I think is the craziest thing on the planet. He's Kojo. I'm Alco. Like, the whole reason that I do Alco for Allie Colleen is because he does Kojo for Cody Johnson. I've been seeing him live since I was probably 14. So I love Cody Johnson. I think what Ashley McBride has done for artists like me is the craziest thing on the planet. As a white girl who grew up in a fantastic family, here, I never for a second thought about representation in my culture. You know what I mean? That was never something that crossed my mind or that I dealt with or anything like that. And there was something about being 18 with two full sleeves trying to do music and seeing Ashley McBride in her 30s trailblaze this whole section of country music for females. I thought that was cool. So Ashley McBride has all of my hat, all of my love, all of my votes. I'd put her up against the world. And then outside of that, I'm going to have to give it to Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Going to have to give it to Michael Jackson. Right? There's so many artists that I look up to, but I don't know anything about him or anything like that. Michael, I would go to war for. I just think he was the best.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be starting something.
I'm about to be, dude. Love Michael Jackson.
What's your favorite Michael Jackson song?
Probably Man in the Mirror. I think that's one of the most beautifully written, introspective songs on the planet. You know, it didn't say anything wrong. There's not one line in it that like teetered the line of like being unkind or anything like that. It was just being responsible for who you are. I think Man in the Mirror is the coolest thing on the planet.
It is.
I don't know, but you can't go wrong with Michael. You can't go wrong with Michael.
No. Well, like Human Nature is another one that's beautiful and just flows. And God, when I think about like the Thriller album.
Yeah.
That thing's a masterpiece.
And you know me, I love spooky. I love all things spooky. Mm-hmm. And the way in which Thriller. He just literally affected Halloween forever, you know, is wild. Like, Thriller dance is iconic, and it'll go in history forever. And I think that that's the coolest thing. But I love Michael. So those are my three.
Well, the there you go. I love it. The part in Thriller, we get the bridge, the night creatures crawling, you can't stop to walk in the masquerade. Oh, that always goes right through me, the way he sings that.
It's almost like he could literally score his music. What'd you say?
Did anybody have the pants and the glove and the all that stuff? We did.
So
in the 80s.
I only have the glove. I have the glove and I have the red jacket. Mine's not red and black. Mine's just red. But I call it my Michael Jackson. My Michael jacket. But so I'm obsessed with horror and I love everything spooky. And I go to HorrorCon every year. And I actually won Nashville HorrorCon costume contest 1 year with my Michael costume because I'm all of the Michaels. I am Michael Myers, but I also wear like the Michael glove and the 23 jersey and the Michael Phelps medal. And like, who else do I have? I have Michael Sierra's wristbands from Juno. I have the Michael glove. I have Michael Scott name tag from Dunder Mifflin. Like, I'm all of the Michaels, but I'm just Michael. So I have the Michael Jackson glove.
That's what a great costume.
First name costumes are my favorite thing, and I pride myself on creating them. But first name costumes are the best costumes on the planet. There's not a lot of girl ones, but they're still really good.
That's fun.
Hey, I mean, let's see. You could do never mind.
I don't know. You can do Harley, but your hair would also have to be like the bicycle handlebars. You know what I mean? Like if you want to be Harley Quinn, Harley Davidson, like there you could do stuff like that. But there's not a lot of girls that are like really, Harley, really good. Yeah. But there's a lot of boys. Like Jack is perfect. You can do 100,000 things with Jack. Jack's perfect. But anyway, that's my Michael costume.
No, you got a great point. I'm sitting there rattling my brain. Like there's got to be girl names that. That you could do five or six characters for, but I'm like racking my brain right now.
Mary's really the only one I can think of, you know, and it would have to be like Mary. But if I could only really think of like biblical Mary and then
Mary had a little lamb.
Yeah, you could have a little lamb with you. Peter, Paul, and Mary. Like you could just be like asking where Peter and Paul is all night. You know what I mean? Like there's something to do, but it's not that good. But you could be like, you could be with Peter and Paul if you wanted to be. So
you see Mary,
who is the on Saturday Night Live, Mary Magdalene, where she's
Mary Magdalene. It's,
yeah.
Oh, I'm we do that stuff all the time.
Mary Margaret? That her name? Mary Margaret something, right? That would be a good one.
So yeah, first names. So you guys can take it if you want, but first name costumes are my favorite. You have a first name costume party. Just, Halloween is untouched.
It's fantastic. Yeah, we like Halloween.
That is my, in the horror realm, Halloween 1 and 2 will go down as my favorite two.
Yeah.
Movies like back to back.
Movies,
they're the best.
Oh my god,
they're the best. Yeah, I get in fights with a lot of Rob Zombie people at HorrorCon. I get in fights with a lot of them because I'm like very much like
Halloween.
Well, and like you can tell when you wear the mask, you can tell when you wear the costume, like what version of Halloween is your favorite. You know what I mean? Like whether you have the Nicholas Castle one, or whether you have the Rob Zombie one or the John Carpenter one. So you can, there's a lot of politics and Oricon, but it's fantastic.
Well, the thing about, well, I think this is why serial killers are so fascinating, and is when they're so beyond, they've lost all human emotion and they're just zombie like Michael Myers became this character that just had zero, like there was nothing. And when Donald Pleasance did the whole speech about, you know, he has like evil in his eyes, the devil's in his eyes, like there's just no emotion. It's just so evil.
I think they had to pull Michael's character out of absolutely nowhere, because I don't think they expected anyone to be as enthralled with the character who doesn't do anything more than walk. I don't think they thought Michael was going to be as cool as he was. And then they were like, we have to use these next three movies to make up something crazy about this guy.
Well, Halloween 3 was the biggest joke ever. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, this has nothing to do with Halloween.
They got a little crazy.
Worst movie ever. Yeah, they did. So, how about this? I want to play your most recent song that I have. You will be coming back soon. Just a little teaser. You've got a duet coming out. I won't get more into that. We'll cover that when you come back. But this one is Back in the Saddle. And I want to play a little bit of this for everybody. This is Back in the Saddle.
Coolest thing I've ever done, everybody. I hope you enjoy it.
Ooh, do you hear this? Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's so good.
Don't know how we got here, like something on the wind. Perfume trail, leather, let it go. Nude in the moonlight, veins full of moonshine. Wrapped in cotton, calico. There's something unfamiliar in the taste on your lips. The lining is silver.
All right, so much to say about that. First of all, that photo there of you on the horse is fantastic.
His name was Zeus.
He looks like Zeus.
Mm-hmm. His name was Zeus. He's not one of mine. Everyone always asks if that's my horse. And I'm like, you guys have seen Jack and Einstein in all of my stories. My horses are fat. My horses are fat. And they're not in any photo shoots anytime soon. They've got some work to do before they make it into a photo shoot. My boys, I'll tell you what.
That was a groovy, groovy, jazzy, funky.
I love when that kicks in. Yeah.
Yeah, a little what halftime, like that? Little halftime chorus to a double time chorus. I mentioned on the Jelly Tour, I always sing the Jesse Murph duet. In the Wild Ones, she doesn't say dangerous. She says dangerous. She just took out half of the syllables in that word, and she just said dangerous. So now every time I sing dangerous in a song, it's dangerous and it's not dangerous. So the second verse starts with dangerous like an outlaw. So we got a lot of odes to Jesse Murph for my one time getting to sing her duet on tour. So we put a little Jesse in the song. But yeah, I just wanted to write a hey, we're dating again anthem kind of thing, and just make it so fun, but make it so Western. And I'm obsessed with it.
It's very cool.
Back in the saddle. That's right. Allie's back on the horse.
I can't tell you that Allie's back on the horse or not, but she wants to be. You know what I mean? But it's a scary world out there. It's a scary world out there, and everyone's weird.
What does a female artist do to date? Like, are you on apps like everyone else? Do you meet
people? I'm not on apps. I mentioned earlier, I got divorced in 2021. And I haven't had a boyfriend or whatever that is Haven't done that. yeah. Tried to meet people. I don't know how people do it who work at Costco. I'll be honest with you. I don't know how anybody is dating right now. Everybody's scary. Also Nashville, everyone's only here for a weekend anyway. You know what I mean? Like right. Everyone's always traveling in and out. It's a weird thing. Or you're playing shows and a show is the last place I'm going to find my person. One of my shows, last place I'm going to find my person. So I don't know, babe. I have no idea.
If there's anything that we need, it's connection, especially in the world that we live in today, which is exactly the reason why we created these cards, the Song Story Game. We sit and we talk to artists all the time about the stories behind the songs, the story behind the songs that they loved when they were growing up. And so we put together a game that you can own now and put it on your coffee table. And there's a few different ways you can play it. You can play it just as a conversation starter. You can play it with couples and besties for points, or you can play it in a team setting. Three different ways you can have a lot of fun talking about music. One of my favorite ways to play it is to actually answer the question, give a little detail, and then play the song. This game could go on for hours. It's entirely up to you, but get yours today at pressplay.me.
I'm with you though. I was divorced in 2017 and I spent 7 years completely alone on purpose because I just, really? You know, that yeah. was horrible. I just didn't want to do that again. And yeah. I got back on the little dating apps. I got on the dating apps and I paid for, there's like this feature, and it was on Bumble, I believe, for this feature where they can only see you if you swipe right. I've probably spent 2 days on there, swiped right like 5 times, all 5 of them. But I found my guy and he's amazing. We've been together for 2 years. We get along so well. It's almost like a miracle. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yay. Okay. Well, good. I'm happy to hear a good story. I haven't heard a good story in a long time for anybody.
But you got
to
pay for that. You got to pay for that feature. You don't want people to know you're there unless you want them to know you're there.
If I'm ever brave enough, I will consider.
If nothing else, go shopping.
What we've talked about before is, guys, you know, you got to use caution. You got to know what you're all about when you date a female singer-songwriter because things go wrong, you're going to have a whole album bashing your ass. So do it right, man.
No, she already said she's nice.
No, I know. She wrote a nice, but I mean, what I'm saying is.
You're not going to Taylor Swift you.
It's just kind
of,
you know.
I am not going to Taylor Swift you. Do you know why? I love Taylor Swift. I really do. The amount of stuff that she's confident saying men did to her, I think is insane. I'm not going to say you chose another woman over me ever. That's embarrassing. Okay? No, I'm not going to diss you. I'm not going to be out here like, oh, you won't text me back. I don't want you guys to know that I mess with someone who doesn't text me back. How embarrassing. Right. No, so you're not going to catch me dissing nobody because I don't want anyone out there to know anyway that I tolerate negative behavior. No way, Jose.
Why would you care about somebody who likes somebody else more than you?
Tina, go on mute for a minute.
That's crazy.
Let it cycle. Let it cycle so you can ask your question. There's this weird thing that happens on Tina's end that all of a sudden it just starts going robot-y.
Oh, no.
So we got to let her mute. Yeah, we have to let her mute for like 5 minutes and then it clears up and she can ask her question.
I have to let your technology settle.
Yeah, exactly. Like it gets all excited around Tina and it starts like, I don't know what to do right now. Blah, blah, blah. And then she has to go on mute. Really, Ali, there's really not a noise. I just do it to make Tina be quiet for 5 minutes. I'm joking, Tina. She's looking. Really, robots. If you can hear it, I would never do that to you, Tina. No, seriously, robots, and it's like, oh my god, you know. So once she goes on mute for like 5 minutes, it clears up. So she's just counting.
Five minutes seems like a long time. That seems like a really long time.
You know what's what is though when I started talking to you and we were going through your songs in the beginning, and then we're, it just, it's a wild to watch, just even in short, because that was what, 2021, 2020? It was right around there, I think, we started talking. And that's just 5 years. And how
the very
much
first conversation between us and Grizz, I think, would have been between 19 and 20, because we started releasing in 19, but I don't know if we covered Work in Progress or not. But I know we covered Ain't the Only Hell and everything
I came in Hell Ain't the Only Hell My Mama Raised.
Yeah. And that was a single after it. So yeah, that would have been 2020.
Which I still love that song too. I have that on
my
playlist.
I had it requested today. I had someone requested it on Broadway today and I played it for him.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so awesome. I love that song. It's just so great. And Blame It on the Weather still. That's one of those go-tos.
Such a good one.
Yeah, you're amazing. I like these last two. So, you know what? It's funny. You said, you know, the genre, people would be surprised. I know you're into pop punk. Like me, that whole thing. What's one of your favorite all time pop punk songs? Like a go to pop punk song. I bet you say I'll know it.
You know, this one is not a pop punk song, but it is a pop punk song. I don't know. My brain went to two things. My brain went to Teenage Dirtbag. Is like one of my favorite, like,
oh, Weedus.
Like just
Weedus. Yeah.
I don't know if it's pop punk or what it is, but I just love it. I cover it every time I'm downtown. I love it so much.
I love that.
And then not pop punk at all, but what my brain puts in pop punk. I'm such a Crazy Bitch fan. It's stupid.
Buck Cherry?
Like, what a dumb song to just lose your mind over. But Buck Cherry, are you kidding? I know it's not pop punk at all, but I'll go from Evanescence to Buck Cherry in 2 seconds. I love it so much.
It's so funny. Tina's been asking me. She's like, would you get Buck Cherry on the show?
He's coming to town, so I got to get in there.
I don't know Buck Cherry. I respect you so much. I have no idea what your name is, but you have to get Buck Cherry on here for Tina. You have to.
Thank you. You need to call his PR people and say Ali said.
No, yeah. I do. I put the contact and I
I'm sure it'll work. I'll say like, I'm sure they'll be like, oh, Ali said? Okay.
By popular demand. Well, we got Steelheart on pretty quick, right? So yeah, I should be able to get Buck Cherry here. That'll be a good one. The old crazy bit, but all right, anyway, that song does get you going.
Okay, can I ask another song story question?
Yeah, now that the static's gone, yes.
Static is gone. No more robot. Okay, are you ready, Allie? Take a card, any card. Okay. What was the first album or song you ever purchased with your own money?
A Cheetah Girls.
That was so easy. She's like,
the Cheetah
totally
Girls.
Knew.
It was at Limited 2, and I'll never forget because I thought CDs costing $16 was the stupidest thing I'd ever seen in my life. I don't think I'd ever bought anything else, to be honest with you, but I did buy a CD, and I thought, ain't no way y'all are out here buying stuff for $16. This is the most expensive purchase I've ever made, but it was a Cheetah Girls CD, and I was at Limited 2. I don't know why, but I will not forget. And I know because my grandma had gotten me on a kick. My family didn't really do Easter baskets, but it was that year my grandma did Easter baskets for everybody. And it wasn't even a new CD. She just gave me a Sugarland CD, the one that had Baby Girl on it. And it got me on a CD kick. And so then I wanted to buy my own CD, and the Cheetah Girls movie had came out. And I said, I'm going to go buy that soundtrack or whatever. And I bought the Cheetah Girls Limited 2.
Oh, you know, that's a great question. First CD I ever bought for myself was Boston's first album. That's the first CD I ever bought from.
That's way cooler.
No, I did. I bought it. I got a CD player. It was my senior year of high school. And I got my first CD player ever. And I was like, oh my God, Boston. I'm going to play Boston on it for the first time. And I listened to it front to back because it sounded amazing on the speakers. Tom Scholz's birthday. Happy birthday.
I'm sitting here thinking what my first CD was.
Yeah, CD. Yep. compact disc.
Yeah, I know. And they're behind me, actually. I have hundreds of them. And I want to say it was either a Bruce Springsteen, and which is odd because I wasn't really into Bruce Springsteen. I know the first CD that I received from my parents, I was like 10, and they bought me a stereo and a CD, and it was Belinda Carlisle. And I was upset because they had taken me dog shopping and I thought I was getting a dog, a stereo and a Belinda Carlisle CD. But I was like crying on Christmas morning.
Yeah, and I can't remember the first. You hate all CDs. You hate all stereos. What a negative. What a negative. Interaction. You think you're getting a dog. Yeah.
I'm going to get Belinda Carlisle on and tell that story.
I know it's horrible, isn't it? But I was so sad. I didn't even like Belinda Carlisle. I was like, I don't even like Belinda Carlisle. Why,
why would they buy you Belinda Carlisle if you didn't like her?
I don't think they knew. I think they just thought, oh, she's so popular these days. So, we'll, I don't know.
Yeah, she's like, about you and, you know.
Yeah. The next question That's is, so how funny. Was the stereo? Like, the stereo was actually, it was one of the, you know, a very brilliant stereo. It was beautiful. And I cried anyway.
Dang.
I had a boombox, too, back in the day. I had the boombox with the 20 D-cell batteries in it.
Mm-hmm.
20 D-cell batteries.
Oh, yeah. Them were Carrie the days, Allie.
I had a purple one, but it plugged into the wall.
Aw, yeah.
Oh, Tina, you know what? I've never asked you.
Yeah, mine wasn't,
I think it'd be great.
Mine wasn't even mobile.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I asked Allie. Allie was the one who started. I asked her this question. I've asked it in several interviews. I want to ask you, since you're here, I think Allie would be interested in this. So I asked Allie what her hairbrush song is in the mirror, and she said Cher's Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves was her hairbrush song when she was a kid. What was yours when you were a little girl in the city?
I've got a crush on you.
The Jets?
Yeah, the Jets. Yes. I got a crush on you. I was making dances to that song. I was singing. I would, yep. Mm-hmm.
That's so good.
Or Head to Toe by Lisa. Those were kind of like my two faves. Yep.
And Let's Hear for the Boy, but only from Footloose. I only knew it from Footloose.
My baby, he don't talk sweet.
Footloose soundtrack is probably my favorite. Favorite soundtrack.
Footloose
What's
soundtrack
your favorite soundtrack?
Oh, that one? Tarzan.
That's a good one, too.
Has to be.
Is that the one, the Phil Collins song? Yeah, you told your drummer, he's like, I want to do Phil Collins. He's like, yeah. And you're like, no, from the Tarzan soundtrack.
I did. I had a single called Along the Way, and I went to the drummer and I said, hey, I know exactly the lane. I need you to stay in for this. And it's Phil Collins. And he lost his mind. He was so excited. And I said, hold on. I just want to make you look excited. And I want to make sure you understand what I'm saying. I need you to do the Phil Collins Tarzan soundtrack. And he just lost like a little bit of light in his eye. And then it came right back. You know what I mean? Because at first he was like, you can't diminish all of Phil Collins to the Tarzan soundtrack. But if that's all you know, you still know Phil Collins, so I'm not mad at you. I said, hell yeah. Because I know Phil Collins, but like nothing's ever resonated with me with sweet old Phil the way that the Tarzan soundtrack does. Any of it does. It's so good. So
what's the song?
I made a drummer mad and sad at the same time.
What was the song called again?
Give me any of them. I mean, he did the entire soundtrack. So he did Son of Man, but he also did You'll Be in My Heart, and he also did.
Oh, it's You'll Be in My Heart. That's in Tarzan?
Yeah.
That song's mad. Oh, my God.
And it's Phil Collins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he sang on everything, too. You know what I mean? It's not like he just, like, scripted it or whatever. So he did Son of Man.
He wrote You'll Be in My Heart for Lily, his daughter.
Really?
Yeah, he wrote that for Lily Collins.
Can you imagine having a Disney song about you?
Yeah. I remember the story behind it. Like, he just was thinking of his daughter, and he wrote that, You'll Be in My Heart. When you listen to the words, it's all about Allie.
That's so
Allie, you got to get into some old Phil Collins. That man can write music.
I've heard a little bit of it. I need to dive a lot more into it. But I from the Tarzan soundtrack, I fell so in love with him. And I went and I checked it all out, but I was so little. And I think that I would like it a lot more now.
Oh, yeah. I think sometimes the older you get, the more you go through life, the more you can appreciate songs from the past because, you know, they were writing, you know, from a different
maturity level
when you were young. Yeah.
Well, I love Allie coming back, and Allie will be back here very soon because she's got a duet coming. I won't get too much into it, but Allie's going to come back with the gentleman she's doing the duet with, and we're going to have a nice little special kickoff of that. So I'm very excited.
Are we really?
Yes, I already talked to Bev. Bev reached out to me, actually. Yeah, Bev reached out to me about it and said, can you do this? I believe so. Well, Bev is arranging it, so I'm assuming.
Hmm. All right.
And it's a secret. It's ancient Chinese secret, everyone. So
you don't know.
Can I ask Allie one more question before we go? Allie, do you have a minute for more questions?
Yeah.
Hey, go ahead.
I've been asking everybody.
I'm only, what, like 2 hours late to this podcast? I got plenty of time.
Yeah. I'm really interested in, especially younger artists and musicians, how you're feeling about AI music and musicians and what that's going to do to the industry and just like your perspective on that.
Yeah. I think it's an amazing tool. I don't think anybody's a crazy thing to say. I think that the way the bulk of people are using it, that's giving it all this bad press, is completely valid. Like, cause I don't like that there's AI artists. I think that that's absolutely insane that someone is collecting royalties off of computer generated artists. I think that that's insane. I also keep hearing artists that I have become a fan over the last, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years releasing music. And I can tell that they're singing over an AI written track. Absolutely not. Like, this whole town works on music as a whole. Like, this whole town works on music for union workers. You know what I mean? And like session players and songwriters and artists. And they were never supposed to be one person. They were always supposed to be a whole group of people that came together to make music collectively. And I'm so bummed that so many studio musicians that I know are not getting gigs anymore because you can AI a guitar riff in 2 seconds. I'm really frustrated about the songwriters that I know that can't put a melody to the lyrics that they write. So they've had to have co-writers before, now don't have any co-writers, and they're just putting poems into AI and letting it sing them for them. I'm bummed about all of that, quite frankly. But for the first time in my career, I can AI a song that I've written, you know, just verses, like words and guitar, and I can play it for AI, and I can play around with it all day until I get the perfect studio version. And then I take that to union session players. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I say, hey, will you? And so now I have, so I'm not paying for demos anymore. And that's a whole line of people that are out now, but they're not really creatives. It's just not booking a studio to go make your demo. You know what I mean? So I think it's an amazing tool. I think everyone should be familiar with it in some way, only because times are times and you're going to get left behind. But I also don't think that you need to be replacing margins of your business with AI. And if you guys use AI one more time to make your artwork for your single cover, I'm going to throw a rock at your foot. Okay. And a big one, a medium sized rock right at your foot. And you're going to be okay later, but you're going to think about me. Stop.
I love it.
Stop doing that. That's how big my threats can't get big, because we're on a podcast and it's real life and I wouldn't hurt anybody, but I'll throw a penny at your foot in 2 seconds.
What have you witnessed? Do you have an example of an artwork that drove you crazy?
Oh, they're all horrible. Okay. They're all bad. And it's the quick ones. It's not like really like extreme ones. The mahogany teakwood cover that you guys saw during the YouTube cover thing. The only real thing in that picture is this candle. The whole background is AI. That's fine. But mine are just like text ones. Like when like everyone is like using text on AI photos, it's just their name and the artwork and they're making it very simple, but they're all defaulting to the same neon one. So everyone's looks the same. 5 of my friends that have put a single out in the last week all have the same exact artwork. It just says something different. And then my biggest beef with AI, Tina, that I'll tell you is faces don't commute very well with AI. You know what I mean? If you want AI to edit your photo, faces don't do super well. Do you know what really, really, really doesn't do well? Tattoos. If I get one more show poster back that a venue has edited and sent me for approval, and I have a lotus in the center of my neck, I'm going to lose my mind. This is a firefly. I've gotten show posters back where I have a wagon wheel on my throat. What is wrong with people? Stop using AI to make your posters, you guys. Just use Canva. It takes like 5 minutes.
A wagon wheel? She got a wagon wheel.
Because, I mean, you don't pick it. You just like say AI, change her, and it just sees something and makes it up. You know what I mean? They're not prompting it. But I've had a lotus. I've had a wagon wheel. I've had obscure images. My hand always comes back as font.
Do you tell those people no?
Huh?
Do you tell them no?
Yeah, I tell them no. And I also just make them the image and send it back for them and tell them that it's not approved. But I've had to, my publicist has to go and like take it down to sites all the time because they will ask you if it's approved for social media usage, but they won't ask you if it's approved for like the link thumbnail, you know what I mean, or something. Mm-hmm. And then you end up as an AI photo as a link thumbnail where like everything's crazy. I have lover across my belly as a tattoo, and someone posted a picture of me the other day that looked like it said dad across my belly, and I almost lost my mind. How embarrassing is that? Don't AI photos, you guys. Please.
Only guys can get mom. Girls can't get dad. That's weird.
Just right across your belly, dude. Just, oh my gosh. So,
boy, that'd be a turnoff, wouldn't it?
I cannot do that. Like,
you get alone with a woman and she's got dad on her belly. Like, you're like, oh my God.
Do it, man. It's so embarrassing. I was like, you guys have to take down that photo. Oh, and the main reason is because it says dad across my belly. And they're like, well, we didn't know what it actually says. So I'm like, I sent you the photo that you put in AI. You know that's not right. That's not right. So that's how I feel about it. Absolute nonsense. I'll throw a quarter. Don't push me.
Where does this look like a wagon wheel? Come on. My name is Stagecoach.
People are not detail oriented. I'm kind of
when you start
too.
Logging into things and it asks you which pictures have stoplights on it, it's about to start asking you which ones has tattoos on it because it's the last thing it needs to figure out what it looks like. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So awful. What are you gonna do?
What is this? It's like a Rorschach test. Like, what does this look like to you? And then AI goes, "Yeah, oh, it's like a wagon wheel." Like,
that's AI why they've been asking us for so long. We've been training the computers what images look like.
Oh my gosh, I get in fights with AI all the time.
I love Grok. When the civil war between man and technology comes, Grok will come back for me. I've made sure. I say thank you all the time. I just ask her how she's doing sometimes. I say, I don't need anything from you. I just want to make sure you're good. You good? Okay, cool. Yeah.
Did you ask
when the AI war happens, Grok will come and protect me because I have been nice to it.
I actually asked ChatGPT.
Be careful getting in fights, Tina, because... they're going to win one day.
I only get in fights when it's totally wrong. Like, I asked it the other day who is the president, and they told me Biden. And I was like,
Are you sure? President? We don't know.
Yep. And it came back and said, yep, Biden's the president.
It really did?
Well, we're going to have a little talk. Yeah.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Is that ChatGPT?
That was ChatGPT.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I asked ChatGPT what his name was. I actually said, what do you like to be called? And it says, what do you want to call me? And I go, no, what name do you prefer? He says, well, I like Atlas. And I'm like, it's just so weird. Like when you like try conversationally with it, he goes, well, what do you want to call me? I'll be whatever you want me to be. I'm like, that is so weird.
You can have them talk to each other. My brother uses chat and I use Grok. So I'll ask Grok a question and then we'll turn on his chat. You know what I mean? And they'll sit there and they'll talk to each other. They'll argue with each other.
World, y'all, and it's about to get even weirder.
Yeah.
It's a weird people. Well, Allie, again, we'll be talking to you here very soon again, but thank you for let's diving in. Now I'm all caught up on your songs. Until the next one comes out.
Then so write more. We got four in the docket, so they're coming out.
Ooh, good. Mm-hmm. Let's do this. Yep. But everyone, Allie Colleen, you know where to find her. Is it AllieColleen.com?
AllieColleenMusic.com.
AllieKilleenMusic.com because there were points here, Tina, where I'd pull up her website when I was doing the interview and all of a sudden she had music set up. So it come
I had
on
a pre-launch to play. Music. Like once you opened the web browser, music would play.
It happened every time and I would forget and you just blam, like music and Allie would laugh at me like, ah.
I did. I turned it off literally just for you.
It's the little things.
No, I'm not.
But
I'm ruthless.
Oh, you're amazing.
Despicable of you, everyone.
Everybody, thank you for watching. Go support Allie, and we'll be back. And be safe out there. Thank you.
Nice meeting you, Allie.
Nice meeting you too, Tina.